Hi, my name is Teal, and I'm your host for the SweatNet Be Amazing podcast, where we share stories of amazing women who live in our communities. My hope is that you will feel encouraged and inspired after listening to each episode. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the Be Amazing podcast hosted here on SweatNet. I am so glad that you have joined me today. It is February 2021. And this is going to be my 35th episode. And before we roll into that, I just want to talk for a minute and share with you about some upcoming things that just my heart's so full, it's bursting. So I have to share. And I've talked about some of this already before, but I think I just have to just continue like talking about it. Like I don't want to let it go. And do you ever have that? Do you have something that's like you're just so excited about and it's like, you just can't contain it? Well, that's how I feel right now. So the first thing I want to talk to you about is, or share with you, is Strong Camp Charlotte that's being put on by Strong Fitness Magazine happening here on May 22nd and 23rd. We have an all-star team of guest instructors coming, which I am just blown away by the amazingness of this group of women. But we're going to have seminars, workouts. We're going to have fun. We're going to have like time to hang out, like It's a girls' weekend of just like workouts and fun. Like that's what we're going to do for 2 days. So you don't want to miss that. Go and register. You can go to Strong Fitness Magazine and register there through Strong Camp Charlotte. Or you can go to my Instagram, It's Teal Smart, and click on the link tree and register there. There is a promo code that is good through the rest of the month of February, and it's Early Bird 2021. So make sure you use that so you get 15% off. We have limited space, so don't hold back or don't wait. Like, go ahead and do it now. You're not going to regret it. You're going to love every minute of it. I mean, every minute of it. And then that is like 5 months out from the big Be Amazing weekend, which is happening October 15th and 16th, again, here in Charlotte. And we're going to have a Be Amazing 5K walk run. We're going to have the Miss Be Amazing bikini. We're going to have Be Amazing Showcase, and we're going to have the Be Amazing Gala Celebration. So it's just another big weekend where you can bring your girlfriends. If you're a coach, you can bring your crew. Like, it's all about women. It's all about supporting each other. It's all about having the opportunity to participate in whatever fitness, whatever feels good to you. You might want to just do the 5K, or you may want to compete, or you may want to just take the stage in the showcase and stand in your power and celebrate your journey. Like, it doesn't matter. There's something for everyone, and it's a way for you to, you know, participate either on the stage or come to the gala and celebrate. Like, there's no right or wrong. It's like, it's open to everyone. And my heart is that all the women that come leave refueled and refilled, instead of feeling like they've gone for a weekend and been completely drained. And that's the case for both Strong Camp and for Be Amazing Weekend. Like, you need that. Like, we all need that. We all have moments of where we're feeling really drained, and then you think about going working out and you're like, oh my gosh, like, am I going to be able to do this? But you're going to walk away feeling like on a high from both. And it's just from being around other women who inspire you and empower you, and you're going to do that for someone else. So registration will be opening soon for the Be Amazing Weekend. Go to beamazingweekend.com, drop your email there. We will keep you updated on when registration opens, and we're so excited. So I can't wait. And I know I'll probably talk about this for the rest of the year. So I just am so thrilled about it. And this podcast happened because we weren't able to do Be Amazing Weekend last year. And this podcast has been such an incredible tool. And all the women that I'm meeting and able to share their story, like, I get inspired every single time. And it's no different today. Today, my guest is Jenny Melrose, a former inner city teacher from New York who turned lifestyle blogger and now a business strategist coaching fellow business owners with online monetization strategies. On this episode, we'll learn how Jenny was able to retire from her teaching job at just 35 years young, once she had replaced her $75,000 a year teaching salary with the income produced from her blog, when she was approached and ultimately sold her blog for six figures. Jenny seamlessly transitioned back into teaching, but this time her students are primarily women looking to build or grow their online businesses. Listen in as we learn from Jenny how to fail forward, stop chasing shiny objects, prepare for the seesaw of entrepreneurship, select the problem in the marketplace that you're going to solve, and for whom. Stay tuned for this incredible episode with Jenny Melrose.
Hi, Jenny. Welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you on.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to chat with you.
So tell me, let's set things up a little bit. So tell us a little bit about who you are.
Of course. So my name is Jenny Melrose. I actually live in right around Charlotte, which is how you and I had the opportunity to meet and know. But I'm originally from New York, and I was a inner city school district teacher that had a newborn and decided I really had lost myself as a new mother and started blogging. This was back, my newborn turns 11 actually this week. So this was 11 years ago. I created the lifestyle site, The Melrose Family, where I created quick and easy recipes and projects. It was pre-Pinterest, pre-Instagram. The only thing that existed were Facebook and Twitter at the time. So I've kind of grown up with Pinterest and Instagram and moved and shifted with all of the algorithm changes and everything that has happened over the years. But that site actually replaced my teaching salary in New York, and we were able to, I was able to retire from teaching at 35, and we moved down to Charlotte from New York, shortly thereafter, because it was something I was consistently able to do. And then I started getting asked, how did you do it? So I started coaching and really working as a business strategist for people to better understand how they can bring their business online and use all of the different social media platforms to truly grow their business and have multiple income streams coming in.
So this is such good information. Like, I know everything today that we're going to talk about is going to be, I think, is so relevant. And so many people are seeking this out right now because of COVID-19 and kind of where we all sit. People are having to pivot, change quick, go online, and then you go online and you're like, where do I start first? Which way do I go? Which is the right one? What do I say? So this is so incredible to have you on today and like to kind of talk through some of this. But I want to back it up for just a minute to when you first started. Did you start the lifestyle blog as a way of like, I'm going to make money doing this? Or did you do that because it was just your way of kind of like, you had a newborn and it was just your way to like, kind of your creative outlet or your way to express yourself?
Yes. So it was definitely started just really as a hobby. I really had no intention of trying to monetize it or even understood that I could. And I kind of got sucked into Facebook at that time, had a ton of Facebook groups even back then, back in the dinosaur ages. And you would just meet all of these different bloggers and they would talk about, oh, we're doing this conference, we're going here and we're going there. And this is how you would network and get to better understand what they were doing. And I think I was probably like a year-ish and a half in, and there was a huge conference in New York City, which for me, I lived an hour from the city. I could just hop on the train and go down and said to my husband, I'm gonna go to this. And Martha Stewart was the keynote speaker. And I got seated at a table, like right where she was on stage. I was right there in front. But the people I sat with, blogger-wise, were making six figures already on their blogs. Like, they were doing this and doing it as like retired their husbands and this is their full-time job. And now they're paying college tuition doing this. So it kind of really opened my eyes to the possibilities and with the conferences, there were a lot of like little workshops where they talked about, this is a way that you can monetize, and you can monetize working with sponsors, and you can monetize with affiliates, and you can monetize with ads. And oh, by the way, if you want to create your own product or service, you can do that too. So it just really truly opened my eyes to everything that was out there, because at that time there wasn't as much information as there is now. Like now we can listen to podcasts, right? Like we both have podcasts. Right. It's so easy to consume information, but back then podcasts really weren't very popular. There wasn't as many people sharing what they were doing. So the only way to do it, to get that information, were to go in person, meet people, and then start to network using social media on Facebook. So we would keep in contact that way. We would end up in the same groups. We would hear, oh, this one's doing that and this one's doing this. Let me try that. Let me watch the way she's using social media. How is she using Pinterest? Because that was when Pinterest really came into play and bloggers just saw tons of traffic coming from Pinterest.
So what's been the most popular part of your, you know, your lifestyle blog? What was it that people were drawn to for yours particularly, like specifically?
So it was, I enjoyed doing the recipes. They always say that you create content for who you were 3 years prior. And at 3 years prior to when I started my blog, I didn't cook. So I didn't understand the kitchen. I had no idea. Now I had this newborn. I needed to cook. My husband was working crazy hours. So it was kind of like an exploration of how I was able to figure out easy traditional recipes, kind of make them my own, and also incorporated my daughter. The big piece for me that I know, and I had people that I actually, when I moved down here, my daughter was five at the time, or yeah, the older one was five, and she was going to gymnastics. And it was right around the holidays, and I got stopped by the girl at the receptionist. No one really knew who I was or anything like that. And she said, oh my goodness. I was like, what? What did I do? Did my bill not go through? And she goes, no. She goes, I was making these apple pie cupcakes. And it was like, I was talking to you and all I could hear was your voice. She goes, and then I looked up and it says the Melrose family. And she goes, it was your blog. But she said to her, the big takeaway for me from that was, it was my voice. She could hear me talking the way that I kind of talk, the way that I kind of approach my kids and kind of have that like teacher voice that goes along with it. And I think that's the piece. I was always truly authentic to who I was. And that attracted certain people to me and helped grow the site, because it was a place where they felt they could safely come, create recipes, figure out other DIYs and things like that, that weren't difficult.
I love this, because it is, you're just talking to you now, like it's so easy. Like you just make it so easy. So I can imagine through your blog, the same thing, the way people read recipes or the way they can identify where you were as a new mom when you first started. So when did the blog really change your life? What was that moment for you that was like, oh my gosh, like this is going to change everything?
Yes. So I think it was truly the first check that came in from doing a sponsorship with a brand. And then shortly thereafter, I had a feature in a magazine, Family Circle. We did like this huge Irish party, and my daughters were in it. It was super cute, but I was paid to do the magazine as well. And I think that that was it, because, you know, you're not a business until you make money. Until you set yourself up and start treating yourself that way, you're really not truly a business. And for a long time, it was always kind of a joke of like, oh, what are you doing over there? What my husband would say. And he goes, are you blogging, with the air quotes? And that was honestly the way that he thought about it for a really long time. It was just kind of like this joke of like something I did as a hobby, because it was how I started. When I shifted and said, nope, this is a business. I see these women making six figure. I know I can do this. That was kind of it for me. Like I am a very like, tell me I can't do something and I'm going to run through the wall and make sure that it gets done. I had so many people that thought I was insane. Especially when I left teaching, because I replaced a $75,000 teaching salary blogging, which sounded crazy to people, especially when I didn't really talk a ton about blogging, because it wasn't something that I promoted personally. It was always promoted from the business side of things. So when I went to go hand in my resignation as a teacher at 35, and they announced at a faculty meeting that I was retiring, they all turned to whip their heads around and were like, what? And then explained, well, I have a website that I replaced my teaching income. And then it was kind of like, wait, what is this? How did you do that? And I had a lot of teachers asking, how can I do this? How can I make this work for me? And I'm a teacher at heart. So I love being able to share and show people how simple it really can be, but it's not something that, it's not a quick fix. It's not your sprint, it's a marathon. And as long as you go into it knowing that, it'll work.
That's awesome. So now let's fast forward. So now we're in 2020. Mm-hmm. How have you taken all of this? And you talked a little bit at the beginning, you know, talking about your story and sharing about who you are. But tell us now, what are you doing to help women that are really wanting to do something like that?
Yes. So my vision and my goals kind of changed a bit once we moved down to Charlotte, because I was getting asked so often by people, how did you do it? And after being down here for about a year and getting asked the same question over and over again, I finally was like, I can teach this. I'm a teacher. I miss not teaching. Let me put together something for all these bloggers. Yes, I'm talking to a different audience. Yes, it's a brand new business that I don't have an audience for yet. I have friends that are asking these kind of things. So I created JennyMalrose.com and also launched the podcast Influencer Entrepreneurs. And my goal when I created that website, the vision for it was that I wanted to affect as many women as I possibly could so that the little girls in their lives that were watching them, the nieces, the granddaughters, the children, understood that there wasn't a glass ceiling for them. They could run their own business, because I never saw that. I never understood that. Like, you did the safe thing and you became a teacher. That's what you did. And you did the, every year your income kind of went up a little bit and you had a pension, and that's, you were going to live and die in being a teacher, and you were going to have to teach for so many years. There was never that understanding that there's more. You can be a business owner. And that is honestly like what my vision is and why I do what I do, because I want those little girls like my own to be able to see, I can do this. I can be a business owner and I can run it the way I want to run it. That works for me and my family or my future family.
This is so empowering, because I know for myself, speaking as somebody that's starting my own thing that's going on, and then same thing with what you're doing for, you know, young women, you know, there is so much opportunity, and the fact that we can be a better version of ourselves and express ourselves and be all those things. We don't have to be what society puts us in, you know, a box to be. Or, you know, for the longest time I grew up, you know, growing up in the South, the, you know, growing up in my 20s, it was like you were supposed to get married, have kids, like everything's supposed to be a certain way. My mom had no vision for, at the time, had no vision for, you know, a woman standing on her own two feet, making her own money and doing all of that. Now my mom is a totally different person and she sees things differently. But when we were growing up in our 20s, it wasn't like that. Like, it was very, you were very boxed in. So for you to do this and take what you've learned and then sharing with others, and especially with, you know, looking at women, young women, and giving them tools and really saying, you can be anything. What do you want to be? What do you want to do? Like, this is so cool. Is there like a specific thing that maybe that you would share that was like, I don't want to say like a bad decision, or maybe you would have done it different. Do you have a moment?
Oh Lord, there's so many, I swear. I think the important thing to really truly know as an entrepreneur is that it is going to be ups and downs. It is a roller coaster ride. And I think that's why I always make sure people understand it's a marathon, it's not a sprint, because you're going to get sucker punched a couple times, and it's about whether or not you are going to fail forward. So in other words, are you going to learn from it? Are you going to be able to get up and dust yourself off and figure out, okay, that didn't work. How am I going to continue to do this? I've had launches that haven't done well. I've had posts that I thought, episodes that I thought were going to do really well. I had an in-person conference that was April 1st of 2020 that had to get canceled 2 weeks prior after planning it for over a year. And the hotel trying to tell me they were holding me liable for all of the money that I owed, even though we couldn't come with COVID. So there, I just feel like there's always going to be something that you're going to learn. There's extreme highs, and it is an amazing thing to be able to now do what I'm able to do from home. Yes, I was affected because my kids were home in the beginning of quarantine, and it was tough to do podcast episodes with them running and my husband in the next room as a PE teacher teaching PE class. But I think that you're definitely going to have those truly, truly amazing moments, but you're also going to have some tough lows. And it's going to kind of feel like, why am I doing this? Why am I putting so much time and effort into this? And I think that probably is a huge piece, I guess would probably be the thing that I would say that I did wrong, is that I would kind of shiny object. It was like a squirrel, right? You'd heard one person talk about, oh, do this on Instagram. And oh, this person said, go over to Pinterest. And this would go to Facebook. No, go on Twitter. No, do Periscope. No, do TikTok. It was just like you were getting whiplash from trying to do all the things. And I think once I realized I need to just focus on my people, the people that I want to attract. Where are they? How can I deliver content that's going to be valuable to them and not try to do all the things? That was what made all the difference in my business, honestly. And there's still even times now where I love Instagram and I love stories and my audience is normally there, but there are times when I know I need to take a step back. My entire family had tested positive for COVID 3 days after moving into our new house because our movers had it apparently. And I needed to get off of stories during that time. It was just craziness. So knowing enough to give myself a break from it, that just because I stopped doing something that I normally always do, my business isn't going to go down the toilet. It's going to still be there. And I need to kind of keep that, not true. I don't like using the word balance because I don't really believe in balance. I believe it's more of like a seesaw that just sometimes you're up and sometimes you're down. But you can know where to focus for sure.
I think that's so important because you're right. It's so easy to be, you know, to get pulled into one direction. Like you're like, oh yeah, I need to be over here and I need to be, and then everything becomes overwhelming. And then you just want to sit with your hands folded and just be like, all right, well, I don't know what to do now. Like, I don't even know where to go, how to show up. I think that's a daily struggle, especially when it gets into the social media part and then the business part and you're trying to build. And that's so on point. What advice would you give to someone that is starting, like they're in the process of starting to launch an online? What would be, you know, something that you feel like is really important?
Know the problem that you're solving and who you're solving that problem for. I hear so many people that just try to cast this net that they're willing to capture every single person. And what ends up happening is they don't capture anyone. They're not attracting anyone because you're trying to talk to too many people. Talk to that person that you are comfortable with. There's always going to be outliers. When I talk to people, I'm normally talking to moms that are female, listen to me, that are, that didn't make any sense, sorry. Women entrepreneurs that are also mothers, because I know the struggle of being a mom. And I know what that kind of like, especially during COVID and dealing with quarantine and what that looks like. And even outside of COVID, like there's struggles, there's guilt, there's things that come along with being a mother. And I talk from that perspective. I also don't talk to men. Like that is not who I'm trying to attract to my audience. I have clients that are men, but I'm not trying to talk to them. They're an outlier. They've just kind of somehow been drawn in. Something about the way that I say things works for them. But I know, like, I try to speak to women for sure.
Okay. So that's where we align. Cause I'm the same way. Like fitness, you know, fitness is so broad, like it's huge, but it's women, you know, it's that piece is to me, that's my focus too. And I've had the same thing happen where I'll have guys, you know, I've actually had clients I trained one guy last year for almost a year, and I didn't really talk about it because it was kind of like that, you know, outlier thing. And it didn't really have anything to do with what my main focus is. So this is really important. Like I really appreciate you really honing in on that. Because I think the whole thing with niche, people throw that word around a lot, like what's your niche and where, you know, it's really just, it really is about being focused on who you identify with, who your client is, who you're trying to serve.
Yes. And I think it's also important to know your ideal client. There's an amazing book that I love. I think it's actually behind. Yep, it is. Mike Michalowicz wrote it. It's called The Pumpkin Plan. And he talks about that you want to have your ideal customer, and you want this ideal customer to be the award-winning pumpkin that you want. Everything about them is exactly you want all those kinds of pumpkins, so that when you focus on that ideal client, you end up drawing more of them to you. And you're always going to have those clients where, you know, if they don't have the motivation that they're looking for, they don't hold their own accountability. Like those kinds of things come into mind, especially with like a fitness where someone, a client like that, that you're trying to work with. What are their excuses? What excuses do you hate? I know the excuses I hate when I work with coaching clients. It's the same thing. You have to know ideally who you would want to work with so that you can speak to them, so that you can speak their language. Because when you put together emails and podcast episodes or even a sales page for a program, the language and the copy that you use there needs to be speaking to that ideal customer. So if you're starting to, like, let's say you have someone that you know they want to be held accountable, and that's the type of person you want to work with, you're not going to push on the sales page that you give them that accountability, because you already know that you want someone that does it on their own. So the language that you use is going to be really relevant to that specific person that you're trying to attract.
This is such incredible conversation, all of this. And I think that we all are going to, like, I know I'm going to go back and listen to this episode again, because there are going to be things that I know I need to go back and hear you say again. But where can we connect with you? Where can we find you on social media?
Yep. So the best spot, honestly, is Instagram. I'm at Jenny_Melrose. I'm always in my stories. That is actually something that I teach, is how to use your stories to get people to DM and have conversations with you so that you can sell directly from Instagram. And then I also obviously have my podcast, Influencer Entrepreneurs with Jenny Melrose, on all favorite podcasting apps.
So cool. Well, I always like to kind of end things with two last things I want to talk about.
Yeah.
One is, do you, as far as physical activity, is there anything that you do in your life on the daily? Is it, you know, walk, run, take a class? Like, is there something that you enjoy doing?
It goes back and forth for me. I was a runner for a while, and I go through stints of like, I'm going to train for something. I did a half marathon last year before I turned 40. Right now, I'm actually Beachbody 80-day obsession. I'm on day like 57, I think, is what I finished this morning. So,
woohoo! I love it. Now, when you did your marathon, did you blog about it, your half marathon? Is this part of your blog?
I didn't, because the half marathon, it wouldn't have fallen in, because I've now sold that. So the Melrose family, I sold for six figures 2-ish years ago now. So that half marathon that I did was last year, but I ran a marathon when I had it, and it wasn't relevant to the content because I was talking recipes. People weren't coming there to have me talk about my, you know, my fitness journey. It might've been like in there as part of my story, but I was never going to start telling them how to train or anything like that. Because again, stay in your lane, stay in your niche. Don't go sideways.
Really interesting. Huh. That's really cool. Okay. So the last thing I always ask, and I think this is like you've already given us so much already as far as really valuable information, but is there anything on your heart that you would like to share with the listeners today?
Oh my goodness. And I would just say that knowing what you're passionate about can become in business for you, but you have to be able to go into it with a plan. Having an understanding of answering that question of who, what problem do you solve and who is it for, and knowing that, you can turn a passion that you have into a business. So just believing that, and always from the get-go, treating it like a business. Because I think that is one of the biggest mistakes I see from clients is that they're not treating it like a business. They don't talk about it like a business. They say they're just blogging or they're just teaching yoga classes or whatever it might be. Own it. Talk about it like you're a business owner. Manifest what it is that you want to see happen for your future.
Thank you so much. Like, I have loved everything that we've talked about today. Like, I really, like, this is been very empowering conversation, and I so appreciate you being on, and I can't wait to share this episode with everyone. Jenny, thank you again for being on today, and I look forward to being on yours because we're going to share. This is going to be fantastic because, you know, women collaborating with women, women supporting women, women lifting each other up is so inspiring to me, and that's everything that this podcast is about. So it is so incredible that you were here today. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you for joining me today. If you like the podcast, please like and share this with other women in your life. You can find out more about Sweatnet on sweatnet.com or follow them on Instagram at Sweatnet and Sweatnet Charlotte. You can follow me personally on Instagram at @itsealsmart. Stay tuned for the next episode of the Sweatnet Be Amazing podcast.